Good afternoon, everybody. Shmuel Plotzker coming at you live from my house. It's book club class time, Monday, January 8th of 24. Let's begin. We're reading the final exam, Letters to Our Students by Rabbi Dr. Ari Berman, President of Yeshiva University. We're currently on page 55, letter 10. You have infinite worth, Torat Adam, the law of man, my dear students. As we move from truth to humanity, from Emmet to Adam in our value system, we are moving from the roots to the tree, from the foundational axiomatic posture that nourishes us to the living animated creation that is supported by those roots. We're now going to a study of the self. College is one of the most formative times in shaping the self. This is precisely what we want you to do at Yeshiva University. We want you to see this as your time, because our story of creation begins with the belief in your infinite worth. This is confirmed in a Mishnah that likens Hashem's work to that of a craftsman. Here we'll see the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, chapter 4, Mishnah 5. Sha'adam toveya kama matbaot b'chosam echad. When a person stamps several coins with one steel, chulin domin zelaze, they're all similar to one another. U'melech malachim ha'malachim ha'garash baruch hu, but the Almighty, tova kol adam b'chosamo shal adam, he stamped all people with the seal of Adam, the first human, Adam Arishon. Bein echad mehen domin lachavera. Yet not one of them is similar to another. Lefikach, and therefore, kol echad ve'echad chayav lomar, everybody is obligated to say, bishvili nivra ha'olam. It's amazing. Because all humanity was stamped by God with the seal of Adam, the first human, because all of them are his offspring. Therefore, since all humanity descends from one person, kol echad ve'echad chayav lomar, every single person is obligated to say, Bishvili nivra ha'olam. The world was created for me. Wow. Each and every person is obligated to say that. It's an incredible thing. Top of page 56. Hashem has one mold, yet every one of us has a different genetic makeup. The fact that we can be part of a species while retaining our individuality is extraordinary. Like this Mishnah instructs, we want you to say, the world was created for me, while you're at Yeshiva University. Because you are one of God's precious creations, ask yourself, what am I here to do? This is your time to discover your purpose and your gifts. This is not selfish. This is your world to build. You are here to do the important and sometimes difficult work of figuring out who you are, what you want to learn, what you want to do in the future, what you should look for in friends and a spouse, and where service. You want to live. This is your world to build. You're here to do the important and sometimes difficult work in college, that is, of figuring out who you are, what you want to learn, what you want to do in the future, what you should look for in friends and a spouse, and where you want to live. No one will know you better than you know yourself. Others will help you on this journey of self-knowledge, but only you can truly develop your identity. This means not only striving to fit in, it means not being afraid to stand out, to buck convention, or to break out of the mold. Trying to be like everyone else, especially religiously, damaging to the precious neshama that is yours alone. This can lead to endless unhappiness, even when you leave the safe confines of YU, select your career path, choose a spouse in a community, you may be tempted to go with the crowd and let the crowd make decisions for you. That would be a mistake. No one else can live your life, and you cannot live someone else's. Top of page 57. One of our Rosh Yeshiva and a cherished personal mentor, Rabbi Meir Torsky, shared with me the thought that in our yeshiva, we do not believe in a prefabricated one-size-fits-all notion of Judaism. It's all too easy when you're developing yourself in the community to look at what others are saying and doing and to pattern yourself on what you perceive is the norm. But these are only markers of possibility for you. You will have to listen, learn, and craft your own path. You are not here to imitate someone else. You are not a photocopy. I remember well Rabbi Lichtenstein addressing two arenas of halacha. What is chova, obligatory, and what is rishus, permissible, as models of self-construction. In Jewish law, as in Jewish life, there are obligations and there are choices. The Talmud describes that there were sages who chose certain mitzvos in which they, quote, specialized and with which they were associated. Each of us should also have special mitzvos and areas on which we focus our learning and our favorite tefillot, our prayers that resonate with us more than others. These are hallmarks of the individual stamp and imprint we place on our Jewish lives. This imprint, this signature coin, in the words of the Midrash, is ours to fashion. It is our reshuf. But here, as in all arenas of life, balance is necessary. Too much focus on the self can generate narcissism and an inability to see and respond to the needs of others. I don't have to tell you that we live in a society focused on the individual. In our day, algorithms confirm and amplify our personal tastes and customize the method and content of the news we hear, the music we listen to, and how we shop. We have so many choices, too many choices, that focus on our very specific needs and desires. This emphasis on the self has also led to societal problems of self-absorption, boredom, and loneliness, what Robert Putnam referred to as bowling alone. Technology has been both a blessing and a curse in this regard. It has hyper-connected us, but it has also kept us overly attached to screens. Top of page 58, Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, in whose memory we dedicated Yeshiva University's Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks Herenstein Center for Values and Leadership, wrote often about the difficulty that all of these individual choices have caused. In his book, The Dignity of Difference, How to Avoid the Clash of Civilizations, he writes, quote, never before have we been faced with more choices, but never before have the great society-shaping institutions offered less guidance on why we should choose this way rather than that. The great metaphors of our time, the supermarket, cable and satellite television, and the internet, put before us a seemingly endless range of options, each offering the great deal, the best buy, the highest specification, the lowest price. But consumption is a poor candidate for salvation, end quote. I did not grow up in the age of cell phones and the internet. This is Rabbi Berman back. The music I listened to was whatever my peer group listened to and what the music industry offered us. We all got our news from the same few sources, but times have changed. I am conscious of the distractions and the noise that these new developments in technology have created and the intense focus on the self that they promote. To this challenge, our tradition offers a twofold response. In the words of the great sage Hillel in Avos chapter 1, Zemein ani li, mi li, if I am not for myself, who will be for me? Uchshani la'atzmi, and if I am indeed only for myself, ma ani, then what am I? The first half of Hillel's statement highlights that our tradition values the individual. But there is a difference between society's notion of equal rights for each individual, which emerges from a sense of fairness and our tradition's deep-seated belief that every individual is holy. Individual Kedusha is rooted in the notion of Tzelem Elokim. Each individual is created in God's image, and one's task in life is to nurture, actualize, and develop the holiness, the spark, and the soul that was given to him or her. Top page 59. The movie Chariots of Fire, which was released in 1981, was based on the life of Eric Liddell, a Scottish runner who won gold medal in the 1924 Paris Olympics and tragically died in a Japanese internment camp in China before the conclusion of World War II. Liddell was born into a family of missionaries. In one scene of the movie, Eric's sister, who was always critical of him, confronts him and asks him why he is wasting his life running when he, too, could take his place in the family as a servant of faith. Liddell was, in fact, a deep believer, but he tells his sister that he will return to his missionary work in China only after he competes in the Olympics. In the movie, these are the words he used to explain himself. I believe God made me for a purpose. He also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. We each experience God's pleasure and presence differently. God takes pleasure in our individuality. Our goal at YU is to help you develop your way. For us, education is not just a window into the world. It is a light into the soul. What you study helps develop your whole personality. Maybe you, too, are a runner or an artist, educator, or healer. We are here to help you develop all aspects of yourself, to find the coin that is the currency of your life. We hope that the spirit of individuality will be reflected in your time here and permeate everything you do. At YU, you will have ample opportunities to customize your education, to learn in small classes with individualized attention, and to get academic advisement and career counseling that is tailored to you. If you care to and make the effort, you will get to know our professors well and learn from them throughout your years here. They are role models of academic excellence. Ask them about their research. Ask them about their research interests as you form your own. If you need additional help in a subject, don't hesitate to ask. They are there for your intellectual growth. Make use of their office hours and develop relationships with them. This will enable them to know you well enough to advise you and write your letters of recommendations when it's time for your next chapter. Top of page 60. And we have a vast array of Torah opportunities for you on campus, more than any other yeshiva or college in the world, that are more specifically tailored for each student. Every student can choose a customized path of Torah study, ranging from the foundations and fundamentals in our JSS Mechina program for those without a strong Jewish studies background, to the advanced Talmud, Tanakh, and Halacha Shiurim on both of our campuses. You have powerful Jewish role models on campus in our rabbis and Jewish educators, as well as the students in our Jewish professional graduate programs. They have chosen to deepen their Jewish learning and commitment, some to pursue careers in Jewish service, and others for the simple pleasure they take in learning. Sanctifying the self is the essence of Torah Adam, the infinite worth and distinctiveness of every human being. This is a foundational pillar of who we are. Internalizing this belief naturally leads to the second half of Hillel's statement and the second part of our response to the challenge that is posed by modernity's excessive notion of the self. If I am only for myself, what am I? Because we believe in the dignity of every life, we must treat everyone with dignity. just as you are created in the image of God,
so is your roommate, the woman working
the register at the cafeteria, and your political science professor. We believe in human majesty, and we value the individual and creative talents that enable us to partner with God. That means we believe that someone else has the same majesty, and it is our job to discover it. On page 61, it sounds obvious, but it is not always obvious in reality. Every single person on our campus must be treated with this kind of respect. This is what it means to create a sanctified community. It brings me joy when I see our students walk over to a YU employee with a friendly hello, or when a new student who feels lonely is met with a kind, embracing smile. We are here to create community. Each of us, as holy coins, stamped with God's presence and our own uniqueness. Once you value yourself, you are better positioned to value others. This capacity for responsiveness to others is what we call Torat Chesed, a core value we will discuss in greater depth later. Your college years are a time to build your character, to figure yourself out, and to stand before big life decisions. It's also a time of great possibility and important questions. Who am I? Who do I want to be? Where am I in my religious journey? These questions echo what we learn in Pirkei Avos, Ethics of the Fathers, Chapter 3, Mishnah 1. Know from where you came, to where you are going, and before whom you are destined to give an account and a reckoning. As you embark on this voyage, keep in mind the words of Rabbi Soloveitchik about the importance of staying true to yourself and not trying to imitate others. Quote, I may have very few good traits, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, but one trait which I do possess is my inability to imitate anyone else. I always want to be myself and to display my unique dignity of having been created in the image of God. The glory of the individual is exemplified by the singularity of every human being. This concept is the motto of my life. End quote. The Rav believed that this emphasis on individuality is the essence of a yeshiva university education and a way that yeshiva is distinctive. When the Rav came to America, people advised him to fit in with societal norms. He refused precisely because he understood that if he did that, he would be compromising on his own unique and infinite worth. Quote, I knew that I would lose my originality if I tried to be what I was not. I would lose my uniqueness and ultimately the divine image within me. I do not like to do what others can do better or just as well. I wish to do that which I am unique at. This is not an expression of haughtiness. No, it is a fulfillment of my intrinsic human dignity and individuality. End quote. We are here to help you fulfill your intrinsic human dignity and find your path. The questions you are asking now about yourself and your future are perfectly normal and part of the Torah Adam journey. Our faculty, Rebbeim, Mashgichim, and Jewish educators are here to talk to you. They care about your future, and they will make time for you. Academic Advising and the Shevet Glaubach Center for Career Strategy and Professional Development are part of the support network of Torah Adam that we provide. We take pride in the hard work of our Office of Student Life. Our remarkable YU Counseling Center is here for you when you want to talk and when you need to talk. If you are in pain, know that your pain is our pain. You are not alone. Please know that we are here for you. The Rav understood that Yeshiva University can assist students in their pursuit of Torah Adam, as he wrote, quote, "This school is unique, and it is imbued with the honor and dignity of man created in the image of God. This is the secret of my love for and commitment to the yeshiva." If I could speak to the Rav today, I would tell him that it is no secret. Here at Yeshiva University, we are committed to facilitating your unique development. Best wishes in your travels. Ari Berman. Letter 11. Tefillah. Prayer as an expression of Torat Adam. Page 65. My dear students, in my eyes, tefillah, prayer, is one of the ultimate manifestations of Torat Adam. This might seem counterintuitive at first. It would be natural to regard tefillah as an act of community because we are directed to pray in a minyan, tefillah b'tzibur. But in our tradition, as articulated by Rabbi Soloveitchik, tefillah is a very personal expression of our service to Hashem. Although tefillah allows an entire congregation to access Hashem's holiness together, as you often cite the verse, "Berov am hajas melech," a numerous people is the glory of a king, see Proverbs 14, verse 28, prayer is a service of the heart, as interpreted in the Talmud, in Gemara Tanit, Tainis, page 2a, "Ulavdo b'chol levavchem, and you shall serve him with all your heart. Ezu hi avodah shehi b'lev." What service is there of the heart? Harei omer, hevi omer, zot tefillah. You should say, that's prayer. Top page 66. In the thought of the Rav, this service of the heart emerges from the depths of one's soul. Rabbi Soloveitchik begins his work, The Lonely Man of Faith, with a confession. Quote, "I am lonely." Let me emphasize, however, that by stating "I am lonely," I do not intend to convey to you the impression that I am alone. I, thank God, do enjoy the love and friendship of many. I meet people, talk, preach, argue, reason. I am surrounded by comrades and acquaintances. And yet, companionship and friendship do not alleviate the passional experience of loneliness, which trails me constantly. I am lonely because at times I feel rejected and thrust away by everybody, not excluding my most intimate friends. And the words of the psalmist, quote, "My father and my mother have forsaken me. Ki avi v'imi azavuni," they ring quite often in my ears, like the plaintive cooing of the turtle dove. It is a strange, alas, absurd experience, engendering sharp, enervating pain, as well as a stimulating cathartic feeling. I despair because I am lonely, and hence I feel frustrated. On the other hand, I also feel invigorated because this very experience of loneliness presses everything in me into the service of God. End quote. For the Rav, the person who is lonely is never actually alone. The Rav writes poignantly in a number of places about how throughout his life, even in the darkest of times, such as when he was being wheeled into surgery, or when he was heartbroken in grief over the passing of his wife, Hashem accompanied him and comforted him. This sentiment is aptly captured in the Rav's use of Plotinus, the Neoplatonic philosopher of late antiquity, to describe prayer as the act of, quote, "a lonely and solitary individual reaching out to a God," quote, "in his transcendental loneliness and numinous solitude." Top page 67. Prayer is the flight of the alone to the alone. The one who is alone reaches out to the one who can only be alone. We are, each of us, profoundly alone at times, And it is in those times that we reach out to the God who is similarly singular in presence. It is this feeling of being completely and intimately alone that creates a deep connection to Hashem as we open ourselves in vulnerability, and that lies at the heart of prayer. This perspective on tefillah, on prayer, helps mediate the well-known debate regarding whether the obligation to pray daily is from the Torah or is of rabbinic origin. Rambam Maimonides maintains that the obligation to pray daily is min haTorah, from directly from the Torah. As he writes in Hilchot Tefillah, as well as in the fourth chapter of the Sefer HaMitzvos, quote, it is a positive commandment to pray each day. As the verse states, quote, and you shall serve Hashem your God. The sages learned that this service is prayer. As the verse states, Ulavdo b'chol levavchem. You shall serve God, you shall serve him with all your heart, on which the sages commented. What may be described as service of the heart? Prayer. The number of prayers is not prescribed in the Torah, and the form of prayer is not legally, and the form of prayer is not prescribed in the Torah. Notice the Torah prescribes a fixed time for prayer. Wow. The number of prayers is not prescribed. The number of meetings is not prescribed. Not prescribed, and the Torah does not prescribe a fixed time for prayer. In contrast to Maimonides, the Ramban, known as Nachmanides, in his gloss in the Sefer HaMitzvos, he regards prayer as mandatory from the Torah only in a time of crisis. As a proof text, he cites a verse about crisis, and this is from Numbers chapter 10. When you go out to war against an enemy that attacks you in your land, you shall sound a teruah on the trumpets. You will then be recalled before the Almighty your God, and you'll be delivered from your enemies. End quote. When we were threatened in the wilderness, we prayed as a community in desperate straits. When we were threatened in the wilderness, we prayed as a community in desperate straits. The Rav explained the debate between these two scholarly luminaries by suggesting that fundamentally they both agree that prayer emerges from crisis. They differ only as to how to define crisis. While Nachmanides refers to surface crisis, like during times of war and famine, Maimonides speaks of depth crisis, which emerges in the sensitive soul in everyday life. Every day brings its handful of challenges and questions. All of this, the joy and the despair, we bring with us when we daven. Every day, we have the opportunity to bring our whole selves into communication with God. The Rav eloquently describes this human need to pray. Prayer is a mode of expression or objective of our inner experience, of a state of mind, of a subjective religious act, of the adventurous and bold attempt of self-transcendence on the part of the human being, and of his incessant drive toward the infinite and eternal. Let me read that again for coherence sake. The Rav eloquently describes this human need to pray. Quote, prayer is a mode of expression or objectification of our inner experience, of a state of mind, of a subjective religious act, of the adventurous and bold attempt of self-transcendence on the part of the human being, and of his incessant drive toward the infinite and eternal. End quote. The Rav writes elsewhere that, quote, prayer is the tale of an aching and yearning heart, end quote. Torat Adam asks that we discover our true selves and bring those true selves into conversation with God. This approach to tefillah raises a very obvious question. Prayer in this respect makes the most sense if experienced in solitude. We know this from our own experiences as well. Sometimes, many times, we pray with the best kavanah, with the best of intention, when we are by ourselves. Yet the very language of tefillah always moves us from the individual to the plural. Our requests are made in the plural, and on Yom Kippur we even confess our sins in the plural. If prayer is avodah shebelev, if prayer is the service of the heart, why is it so communally focused? And the answer is that our tradition directs us to expand what is in our hearts. We must include others, both those close to us who may need our tefillos, and moving outward, strangers on the other side of the globe who are in crisis. The act of prayer is expansive. The heart has many chambers. Top page 69. This notion emerged most poignantly for me, personally, when I was a congregational rabbi. I had a very close relationship with many of my congregants. I felt their suffering when they were going through difficult times, and I was elated when they experienced celebrations. This transformed my whole field experience. When we gathered together in prayer, I knew intimately the joys, struggles, and problems of people in every single pew. The woman in the front, who was recently diagnosed with cancer, the young man who just got engaged, and the new father, who just lost his job. There were so many people to hold in my thoughts, and I wanted to hold them there. These were my friends. They were my family. I loved them. My heart expanded, and as a result, the service of my heart expanded as well. This led to some practical challenges. As a congregational rabbi, I had to tend to the public tefillah, which impacted on my personal one. Even the amount of time I could spend on my private amidah, the silent prayer, was curtailed due to my concern of burdening the congregation, as they would, out of respect, wait for me to finish my silent amidah before starting the public recitation. For a number of tefillot during the Yom Narayan, during the high holidays, I instructed the congregation not to wait for me so that I could devote myself fully to unburdening what I was carrying in my heart. Top page 70. And it took time. I remember that one congregant came over to me during the break on Yom Kippur and quipped that he was a little troubled. I thought we had a pretty pious rabbi, but there must be a mountain of transgressions you're repenting for. If he only knew that my tefillah was actually about him and his current challenges, about his family, his neighbors, and his fellow congregants. The Talmud in Bava Kamma 92a teaches us that Kol mevakesh rachem al chaveiro v'hu tzorech lo sodavar hu na'anav tchila. One who prays for another's needs, even if they are similar to one's own, is actually answered even more immediately. When it comes to the true meaning of avodah shebalev, service of the heart, I have learned that it doesn't only mean what's in your heart, it's also who is in your heart. Who is in your heart, my precious students? This kind of prayer redefines the notion of self. Channeling the words of the Rav in his explanation of the debate between Rambam and Ramban, between Maimonides and Nachmanides, if we profoundly feel the needs of others when we pray, then their crises become our own. When you love others enough, you absorb their pain the way you absorb your own. Their joy also becomes your happiness. This is our aspiration for prayer. The Talmud in Shabbos 10b illustrates different ways that the Amoraim, the Talmudical sages, would prepare for prayer. It starts with a verse in Amos, chapter 4. Prepare to greet your God, O Israel. Ki kon lekras elokecha, Yisrael. Rabbi Bar Rav Huna would don expensive socks and pray. And he said he would do this because it is written, remember this is Gemara in Shabbos 10b, he would put on expensive socks and he'd pray. And he said he would do this because it is written, prepare to greet your God, Israel. Rava would not do so. Rather, in his prayer, he would remove his cloak and clasp his hands and pray as a slave before his master. Ravashi said, I saw that Rav Kahana, when there was suffering in the world, would remove his cloak and clasp his hands in prayer as a slave before his master. When there was peace in the world, he would dress and cover himself and wrap himself in a significant garment, and he'd pray. And he said that he did so in fulfillment of the verse, prepare to greet your God, Israel, end quote of that Talmud. We'll conclude over here on page 71. The first two sages prepared for tefillah based on their understanding of how best to approach God in terms of what posture looked most respectful. But Rav Kahana prepared by first looking at his surroundings, internalizing the needs of those around him, and then collectively bringing everyone with him when he approached Hashem. Torat Adam charges us to develop all our unique skills, talents, and qualities. But this is not simply for the purpose of self-actualization. It is to have a broader notion of self that includes others. This is the kind of Torat Adam that leads one to a Torat Chayim that is also Ahavat Chesed. It leads to loving acts of loving kindness. It is the kind of Torah we teach in our yeshiva and the Torah to which I will now turn. Bivracha, blessings, Ari Berman. Friends, this is a good place to stop. We've knocked off two letters. We can't be too greedy. We only have so much left in the book. We don't want to chase it and finish it all up in one fell swoop. So, not a bad place to stop. I want to thank everybody for joining me and listening to my reading of these two beautiful letters. With God's help, we'll continue next week and start a new concept called Torat Chaim, an integrated life and an ancient dilemma. That will be letter number 12. Wishing everybody a wonderful day. Thank you again for joining me. Come on out tomorrow for Tanakh Tuesday. And remember, our newsletter was a little bit confused. It wrote down Tanakh Tuesday, meaning Mondays and Wednesdays at 7:30. Not true. It doesn't meet Mondays, Wednesdays, 7:30. The M and W stands for men and women, not Mondays, Wednesdays. It's not a college listing of courses where M and W stand for Monday, Wednesday, and T and T H stands for Tuesday, Thursday. Over here, Tanakh Tuesday means Tuesday. We meet on Tanakh Tuesday at Tuesday night at 7:30. And with God's help, that'll be you again tomorrow night at 7:30. We might even actually finish the chapter 24 of 2 Kings, leaving us with only one chapter to go. Very exciting stuff. Wishing everybody a wonderful day. With God's help, we'll see you tomorrow night at Tanakh Tuesday at 7:30. Take care and be well. This year is in memory of Gedaliah ben Moshe. May his neshama have an aliyah. His patira was a few weeks ago, and the shloshim are approaching. May his neshama have an aliyah, the yeshiva and rafia, success to the Israel Defense Forces, healing to those in hospitals throughout the state of Israel, and may the hostages be returned to their families in Israel immediately. Wishing everybody a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow night, 7:30. Take care and be well. Bye bye now.